Now, if you were wondering why I asked her to come and do that, I don't think you are wondering anymore. Not only because she's my mother, but she brings something special to the table. Now, I know that most of it comes from when she looks back at the person I used to be and sees what God has done through me and see what God has done with me, then that's reason enough to shout, because I haven't always been destined for this place. I was destined and had my mind set on a place much worse off than this. But because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his unwavering favor in my life, I can say thank you, because you've brought me to this place. Now, to answer one of Reverend Leggett's questions, I don't intend to stand here long. I never do. But I'm going to let God do what he has to do. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, would you please with me turn to Genesis, the 28th chapter. And we'll start at around the 11th verse. Now, I read from the New International Version, and I hope that's not a problem. But the word is the word. Amen? So, Genesis, the 28th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you still need a minute, say, wait a minute. All right. My father used to say he'd wait till he heard the pages stop turning. But in the days of iPods and iPads, that ain't always a rule to follow. Amen? When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and to the west, the north and to the south. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, set up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, through the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. You may take your seat. I want to speak from this title, Blessing in the Promise. I originally titled it, The Blessing is Not in the Blessing, but the Blessing is in the Promise. Let us go to God. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for just bringing us into another day. Thank you, God, for just being with us throughout the entire week. No matter what's transpired, we want to say thank you. We'd be remiss if we did not take the time just to say thank you for your watching over us, Lord, for our coming in and our going out. We want to say thank you. You've been so good and so kind, well above what we deserve, but we just want to say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done this week, just in particular. Thank you, God, for being the stone in my life. Thank you, God, for being the rock I can depend on. Thank you, God, for being God, for when I cry out, for being an ear. Thank you, God. Forever blessing, forever reproving, even when I do wrong, for being thank you, God, for being faithful. Remove me. Speak through me. Use me as a vessel that your word may go forth the way you want it to. And I'll be very careful to give you the praise and give you the honor and give you the glory. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, keeping in the spirit of what Reverend Leggett has been talking about, the week before last, it was the characteristics of a dead church. Last week, conversely, it was the characteristics of a church that's alive. But he's been saying something through those 2 weeks that really caught my attention. And it had to do specifically with discipleship. Right. Now, before I left last week, he grabbed me and he said, let the Lord use you, and what he wants you to say, he'll bring to you. Now, I did the first part, but I didn't do the second part. And I have a good reason for that. Because you don't know this, but this sermon has been written for over 3 weeks. But it's amazing how God waits just until he wants you to give it, to bring it. Now, like I said, I have to apologize for my wife and my family not being here. They're in Pomona taking my sister-in-law to school. So they couldn't make it, but I bring you that for them. Now, we've always been dependent on God for provisions, for just sustaining us through the daily encounters of life. We've always just, you know, asked God for this and asked God for that. And he's always been happy to do it. And if we were to classify what we ask God for and put it in categories, they would be things carnal. You know, God, I want some companionship. I don't want to be alone. I want a husband. I want a wife. If you're younger, I want a girlfriend. I want somebody I can cuddle with, a cupcake with. I want somebody that likes me just as much as I like them. Now, that's not a bad thing to ask for, because whether you know it or not, that's how I got my wife. I'm telling you the truth. I told God, I said, I'm not alone, because I'm not an ugly cat. I've never thought of myself as one. And if I want something, I know how to go and ask for it. So it's not that I'm alone, because I can take care of that, but I'm lonely. And he said, okay, I'm going to send you somebody that you won't be lonely no more. Now, if I knew then a dime ago what I know now, I would have asked him to shape it a little differently. Because it's some times that although I love this person, I don't want to talk to you right now. It's some times that she knows how to get me to the point where I'm really frustrated. But I thank God because he knew what I needed. And when I got good news, it's nobody else I want to tell the good news to first. When I got some bad news, she's the first person I want to give the information to. So it's not a bad thing to ask God for that. And the next thing we ask for are financial. You know, God, I want a new car. I want a better house. I want a better promotion. I want more money on my job. Not that we always need it, but, you know, we see somebody else pull up in a new car, and we want a new car. We go to someone's house and like their house, and all of a sudden, we want a new house. So those are some of the things that we ask God for. And probably to round out the list, the last thing that we ask him for are spiritual things. God, give me some long suffering. Help me to be patient with this person. Lord, give me some joy. Give me some peace. Give me some understanding. Now, those are not bad things to ask for because we like to pray the fruit of the Spirit to God. But here's the thing. When we're asking for those things, we're usually asking for them spot on in the moment. Now, what I've come to understand is I'm not looking for just blessings anymore from God. Now, I know that sounds a little funny, me saying that, so let me explain it. See, I found out what a blessing is. A blessing is a single, solitary event. Just for the purposes of getting you through to the next circumstance in your life. Okay, now, if I'm asking God for just blessings, that means I'm just depending on him for here, there, there, there. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not just asking God for blessings anymore because now that I understand what a blessing is, now you also have to understand that it's not anything that you can generate or anything that you can do on your own. So you must understand that it does come from God. But I'm not asking God for blessings anymore. Now I'm asking God for promises. Because whether you know it or not, I'm at the point in my life now where I just don't need blessings. I need a promise for you. And what's good about when you're asking for a promise is that blessings come affixed to the promise. See, promises are what keep you going from day to day. Promises are what get you up in the morning and let you know I'm gonna make it. Promises are things that when everything seems to be falling off around you and it seems like the ground beneath your feet is about to give way, I can still stand on the promise. See, let me tell you how this impacted me. 4 years ago, I started school. Now, before I started school, I had jobs. It was, you know, good job here, bad job here. But I stayed gainfully employed. So, the last job I left, I was really thinking, you know, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. I'm a strong person, but I just don't want to be in this predicament the rest of my life. And something happened along the way. I started preaching. I actually accepted my calling. Now, that's after running for about 4.5 years. And God made it to where it was either accept the calling or go to jail. And I don't mean this as a euphemism. And I don't mean it as, I mean this literally. I was standing in front of a judge, and she was about to give me 5 years. And I said, I'll do what you want me to do. If you want me in Alaska, I'm on the next thing smoking. And he said, now I'm ready to work with you. But something happened when I accepted my calling. You see, I believe that while the Bible is, should and should be the root of our lives and should be the direction of our lives, on certain things it's ambiguous. It doesn't give you always context. So I needed to learn why, when, how, what was the dress code, what was the culture. And really what I didn't understand is God was putting a thirst for knowledge in me. And so what I said to him was, you know what, I'll go to seminary or some type of seminary just so I can give back to your people what they need. He said, that ain't what I want you to do. I said, but God, I got babies at home. I got a wife that I got to take care of. He said, that's not what I want you to do. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, go to school. I said, uh-uh. He said, why? I said, I've just explained to you why. I need to take care of my family. And he said, don't worry, I got you. Now, listen to the language. Don't worry, I got you. That's the promise. So I said, okay, now for 2.5 years, no job. My wife, for over a year, no job. Never missed a car payment. Never had the lights turned off. Never missed a rent payment. Shoes always on my feet. Clothes always on my back. Never missed a meal. You can't tell me you can't stand on a promise and not watch God work. Because I got to be honest with you, I didn't say it was easy, and it was times that I have to go off and cry about it because I didn't know what God was going to do. But did he remind me, just stand on the promise that I gave you. I told you that I got you when you started this journey, and I ain't left you yet. What makes you think I'm going to leave you now? Now you're probably wondering, as is Pastor Leggett, well, that's all good, but how are you going to prove that scripturally? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, first off, in the text, we notice that Jacob is having some issues. If you know your Bible, Jacob is on the run. Jacob is on the run because what Jacob usually was, and what his demeanor and what his modus operandi or what his MO was a deceiver. Jacob was a swindler. Jacob was that smooth type of cat that would talk his way in and talk his way out of what he wanted. If you need further proof, just flip back a few chapters and see what he did to his twin brother. Talked him out of his birthright. So Jacob was always prone to talking into what he wanted. And conjunction with his mother, they talked their way into getting him the blessing, but that type of lifestyle got him to the point where he find him now. Jacob is on the run because he thinks that or knows that when his brother catches him, he's gonna kill him. Because his brother was so upset because daddy wanted to give the blessing to Esau. But Jacob snuck in with his mama's help and stole it. So Jacob now is on the run because his mama told him, well, go to my brother and there you can live and probably survive. And I'm not going to tell your brother where you at. So Jacob is on the run, scared. Had to leave his mother and his father, not knowing if they'll see him or he'll see them again. His brother hating him, his daddy disappointed in him, and now he's tired. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that seems like prime opportunity for God to talk to you, because there are no other distractions around. You can't be persuaded by this because that seems like it's about to blow away. You can't be persuaded by that because that's gone and you're tired. Now, whether you know it or not, let me back up. The blessing or the promise started with Abraham. Abraham, in the Bible, it seems like his faith never wavered. The blessing is then comes through Isaac. Isaac had some issues, but it doesn't say if or when Isaac's faith ever wavered. But it doesn't say that Jacob knows what's going on. It doesn't say if his daddy told him you are the promise, or it's a promise that's coming to you or your brother. I don't think Jacob or Isaac knew what to do because he had two of them. So he probably was going to wait until one of them got the blessing and then tell him what's going on. But since the blessing came and the boy had to leave, he didn't have the time to explain to him what's going on. So God caught up with him and now tells him what's going on. And like I said, it seems to me that God needs to find us when we are at our most and when we seem to be destitute. Because no other comforts around. There are no other comforters around. There's nobody to say, God didn't say that, because it's just you and him. And he needs to let you know that don't worry what you see. I've still got you. Even though you got this way, and even though you got to this position by swindling, talking people out, conniving people, conning people, don't worry about it, because I preordained this place to talk to you. So don't matter what's going on in your life, even if it hasn't been with God's assistance, and even if you've gotten there on your own, you're in this place now and he's with you. Now, what he was doing is he was also showing him implications of a promise, not just the promise, but implications of a promise. See, the first thing that I wondered about when God told me to go to school was, how am I going to make it? I'm not going to be able to do this. I've got other responsibilities. Responsibilities you know about. You was there when I got married. We asked you. We invited you to the wedding. You was there, wasn't you? You said, yeah, I was there. You was there at the hospital when the kids were born, weren't you? Yeah, I was there too. So how am I going to be able to do this? When he said, I've got you, but I needed some assurance. And so what Jacob needed was some assurance. You see, I'm worried about providing for my family. Jacob is worrying about seeing another day. And even though there are two different situations, some of us have been in the situations either on this spectrum or that spectrum or somewhere in between. So when God speaks to you, there are implications, there are tenets to the promise. The first thing he shows him is that there are angels ascending and descending. Now, that might not seem a lot, but what it's letting you know is that God has messengers constantly moving up and down, carrying out his orders on your behalf, whether you see it or not. And really, if you think about it, even while you're sleeping, he's got angels moving back and forth, making sure that this don't happen and making sure that that don't happen and making sure you get to this place and making sure you protect it. Now, my father used to say something, and he meant it as a joke. He'd always say, if God made anything more beautiful than a woman, he kept it for himself. Now, Like I said, he meant it as a joke, but I started to think about it. God never and has never kept anything from his people. Even the thing he uses to protect his glory, he gives to you. Do you know he uses angels to shield himself? They're called covering cherubs. And if he sends angels to protect you, that means he'll even give you the very best of him when it comes to carrying out. Now, first he shows him the angels ascending and descending, constantly moving, making sure that when you get to this place, you're protected, making sure that your babies are protected, making sure that the boss don't rough you up too much, making sure, I know many of you have passed accidents on the way, and he was making sure that some of those accidents weren't you, making sure that the elevator that you were on didn't break down on the way to your floor, making sure that everything that's happened around you didn't befall you. Don't you know that those angels are encamped around you? Just to make sure that you get to the place that God has predestined for you. The blessing is the promise. Then he speaks to him. Now, like I said, Isaac and Abraham knew who God was, but it gives no indication that Jacob knew. So he speaks to him. I'm the same God. I'm the same God that your daddy knows. I'm the same God that your mama knows. I'm the same God that your granddaddy knew. Now, usually this don't mean nothing. But what I found out studying is that when it comes to, in America, when it comes to familial ties, Latinos got it the best. They don't break their ties for anything. Next in line is African Americans. Not to say anything bad about Caucasians, but, you know, they just kind of go their own way. Once they gone, they gone. But here in America, Latinos got it the best in African Americans. Now, anywhere else, it really doesn't matter because there they focus on interdependence rather than independence. But this means a lot to me because this means that he's the same God that my grandmama was praying to. He's the same God that was holding on to my granddaddy. He's the same God that when my mother would call us in, turn off the TV, get down on her knees and pray for me and my sister and get up with her face soaked with tears. And I didn't understand it. He's that same God now that I depend on. He's that same God now that I just go and lay my hand on my children's head and say, God bless. He's that same God that I put hands on bills and say, you take care of it. He's the same one answering the same prayers, listening the same way, blessing in the same amount with the same grace, the same mercy, the same salvation. He's the same God. I'm almost done. The same God. Sometimes I don't think people understand it. The same God. The same God. The same God that even when I know I'm wrong, the same God. The same God that hears my prayers, wipes my tears. And don't think that I don't cry. I don't let my wife always see it. But sometimes I can't even deal with the vicissitudes of life. But he's the same God. And I'm not relying on blessings. Because the blessings come with the promise. Yes, sir.
I don't know about anybody else, but see, when we think about discipleship, the first thing that I've learned, as Pastor Lay alluded to, I'm in graduate school. And one of the classes that I'm taking right now is called communication skills. Now, I've never, ever, excuse me, had a problem communicating. I haven't. I can tell you exactly what I want. I can tell you exactly what I think of you. Good, bad, indifferent. I don't have any problem letting you know what's on my mind. But what I'm learning in this class is that's not communication. Communication involves listening. And it involves staying in the moment and not looking past what's going to be on the next horizon. And you got to stay in the moment with this person and connect with them there. Now, when I asked, why are we doing this? They said, really what's happening is we're creating new pathways. In other words, we are redirecting how you think. So as you move into an area of discipleship, some things that you used to do have got to change. You've got to move into a new way of thinking. You've got to say, God, I need you to promise me that you're going to be with me on this endeavor. Wait for him to say, I got you, then move. Not say, I need you to bless this circumstance or I need you to bless this day. No, I need you to take care of me from now until then. I need to know that whatever I do, I've got your divine intervention in it, because I'm going to need strength, because whether you know it or not, you're going to come across some people who are going to drain every bit of strength out of you. You will come across some people who you can't understand why they keep running their head into the wall. Even when you prayed with them, you prayed for them, and you've done everything short of giving them the clothes off your back. You are going to run into some people who it takes every bit of God's restraint for you to not flip and be the person that you used to be, because you got some real choice words for them. So as you move into an area, into discipleship, you're going to need a promise. Promise you'll keep me in perfect peace. Promise you'll bridle my tongue. Promise you'll keep my spirit strong. Promise you'll keep my children. Promise you'll keep my husband. Promise you'll keep my wife. Promise I'll keep my word. That's a big one. And go even to places you don't want me to go. Now, there are five tenets to a promise. The first one, and they're actually outlined in the scripture, through verse 20, ending with verse 22. The first part or tenet of a promise is divine companionship. If or since God be with me. Now, that's very instrumental, because I don't know about anybody else, but when I go on a long trip or go anywhere, it's always good to have somebody rolling with me. Usually, I got my wife riding shotgun. But when I don't have my wife riding shotgun, it's always good for me to know that God is right there. There are times that she can't be there, so I need that companionship. But it's always much, 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 much more special when I know that the companionship is divine. So what God was actually telling Jacob is, I will be with you. And Jacob said, well, since you're going to be with me, I know that I'm not doing this alone. I know that you've already ordered my steps. That's part of discipleship. Just knowing and trusting that God is going to be there. That's the divine companionship. The second is divine protection and will keep me in the way that I go. Wherever I go, I know that you got me. I know that you're constantly making sure that the evil, that the flames and the arrows of the enemy, the darts that he's trying to hit me with, I know that you're making sure that some of them don't hit me. I know some of them are going to hit me and I'm going to need you to repair the wound. But the ones that were meant to kill me, to take me out, I know that you've already extinguished those flames. I know that you protected me. See, I usually say the same prayer every morning. God, protect my babies. Protect my wife while she's not here. And, you know, a couple of days ago, I was thinking about it. And I was like, you know, if they were here and something happened, I really couldn't do anything about it. I think I could because they're in my eyesight. And, you know, I'm holding on to one of them. I'm holding on to somebody. But really, if something happens, I'm powerless. So, God, I am entrusting my most precious with you because they're more precious to you than they are to me. But I can't do anything but just allow you to do what it is you're going to do anyway. Keep it moving. Because I know that the protection that you give is much more than the protection that I could possibly hope to offer. So God, please protect my children, my wife, everyone that's special to me. Please protect. Not only that, protect my house, protect my job, protect my family, protect my finances. Protect my mind, protect my heart, protect my spirit, protect my soul. The third is divine sustenance and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Like I told you, it was 2.5 years with no job, and I still was able to dress. Y'all don't hear me. Shoes don't last always. Clothes don't only last a certain amount of washings. But God kept them the same way he did the children of Israel. He kept stuff looking fresh. He kept stuff lasting. He made sure I didn't grow out of things. He made sure the dryer didn't eat up stuff. I don't know any other way to explain it. My children were in elementary school at the time and were running in and out of shoes, but he made sure that their shoes stayed just long enough until me and mama was able to get some more. Don't tell me that you can't rely on God for everything and watch him work. And like I said, I didn't miss a meal. I didn't miss a meal. It may not have always been what I wanted. You know, it wasn't every day, wasn't porterhouse steak and jumbo shrimps and prawns and stuff like that. But don't get me wrong, I ate pretty good. And I know that was nothing but God. The fourth is divine favor, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace. See, whether you know it or not, God is not taking you on a journey many times for you to go straight through. See, in discipleship, what he's doing is, see, God works in some mysterious ways. Let me just keep it real. He worked kind of funny. I don't always understand what he's doing. I don't always know why he's doing it. But I know that it's going to be cool. That's all I can rely on. But many times he's taking you not like this, but he's taking you like this just to bring you back around and then take you through again. Which means he's taking you like this to get you to a particular point. Then he's bringing you back around so you can pick up everybody that you didn't take with you the first time and then go straight through and have everybody with you. That's favor. And so what Jacob is saying is, I know I'm going to go this way, but I'm going to come back to my father's house. So when I come back to my father's house, I'm going to need your favor. Now, if you really look at the way Jacob left with nothing but the clothes on his back. Jacob left with heartache and headache. Jacob left with a broken heart. Jacob came back rich. Jacob came back with three wives, a budding nation, lambs, sheep, goats. Jacob came back bawling. But the only reason he came back that way is because God had divine favor on him. So don't worry about the way that you're going. Just worry about when you gotta circle back. Because when you gotta circle back, he's gonna make sure that you come back to the place that you left with more. The next is, and the last one is, divine salvation. Then, or rather since, Jehovah shall be my God. That's salvation. That's divine salvation. Now, so salvation to us means so much more. Let me break it down what salvation means. Salvation can be described in three ways. We have been saved, or we are saved from sin. We are being saved from the temptation of sin. And we will be saved when God's wrath is poured out. So it doesn't matter anything that's going on in your life. Now, I don't mean that to be funny, because I know you're probably saying, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm up against. It doesn't matter. God does. He's the one who takes care of it. See, I'm at the point now where, since I know that I'm his, I don't rely on anyone else. Because I've been let down too many times. I don't rely on what anybody else is going to tell me, because people seem to come up short. I don't rely on what I think is going to happen, because, keeping it real, I don't know what the next day is going to bring. But I do know one thing. I do know that God, but God, I do know when I call on him, I do know that he'll answer. See, he said, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. I love the Lord because he heard my petition. I love the Lord because he listened to my complaints. I love the Lord because he addressed my needs and not my wants. I love the Lord because it doesn't matter what I'm going through. I love the Lord because at my darkest hour, I can't tell y'all some of the things that I've had to go through. Some nights I've sat up and worried about bills. Some nights I've sat up and worried about health. Some nights I've sat up and worried, but then I've remembered, but God. Oh, I've just heard when it's darkest. I promised you, boy, didn't I? And I say, yeah, you did, but I'm still scared. I promised you, boy, didn't I? Yeah, you did, Lord, but I don't know what to do. I promised you, boy, didn't I? Yeah, you did. Well, ain't you read Hebrews? Don't you know I'm a God that can't lie? Don't you know I'm no shorter than your word? So all you got to do is trust me. Just remember, the blessing is not in the blessing. The blessing is in the promise.